Hallelujah. What an awesome night tonight to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And to hear those marvelous testimonies. You know, it's always amazed me how God will lead a person step by step. You'll be able to look over your shoulder at some point in time and begin to take a look and see the different markings where you know that God was speaking to you long before you even gave your life to the Lord. You can look back and you know this point, this point, this point, this point, God was speaking. I want to take you back to probably 1970 in a little apartment. We called them flats. There must have been about 7 or 8 of us in this darkened room, smoking marijuana. We closed all the windows because we believed that inhaling it twice helped. And so the smoke was just all over this place. We'd all taken LSD and this mind-bending, and I'm sure people are already saying, look at that color, you know, look at this color. And we were in this mode of deep meditation on music that was playing and mind-bending on LSD. And I remember somebody just got up, and this is a mile marker that God, I can look back and I know that this was, I don't know how or why he does these things, but I'm thankful that he does. But I remember this occasion as clear as anything, that somebody, then we had records, somebody changed the record and they stuck on this long playing album called Jesus Christ Superstar. And as it began to play and everybody was into the music, I remember the words as the artist began to sing. To them, you know, now I look back, it's absolutely blasphemous. But as they began to sing, Jesus Christ, Superstar, who do you think you really are? Jesus Christ, Superstar, who do you think you really are? And as those words, as the name Jesus penetrated into my heart, you got to understand, we are smoking marijuana on LSD, tripping out at the peak point of what this induced drug does to you. But in that moment of time, I was as stone cold sober. The name Jesus sobered me. I was in this room, in this place, and I couldn't budge, I couldn't move, but I knew that there was some kind of power in the name of Jesus that I couldn't explain. But I was no longer on a trip. I was the only one out of it. But I always remember, these are the mile markers that God will do for you. And I know that you're sitting here tonight and you have gone through the service and you will remember and you know that there are times that God began to speak. I think of Brother Greg as he just in the midst of that struggle in his life. If there is a man just looking back at me. See, these are mile markers of the love of God as he goes to reach you. These are the things that God will do in a life so that he can begin to speak right into the recesses of your heart and life. Now, I can't say that I got saved at that point. It was going to take another couple of years or so before I would surrender my life to Jesus Christ. But now when I look back and I read the scriptures, I see that Isaiah 52 verse 6, this is what it says, "But I will reveal my name to my people and they will come to know its power." And I thought to my, when I read this the other day, this flashed back into my mind that just the name Jesus, you will come to know this power of this name. It can stop a drug-induced trip. It can stop demons. We were at a tent conference one time, my wife and I, and there was this, it was a huge tent, and there was this crusade going on, and the lady who was bringing the word that night, the preacher was bringing the word, she couldn't have been any more than 5'1", 5'2" tall. And she was just preaching the Word of God. And I tell you, it was amazing. And we were just new in the ministry. We were just at this tent meeting. It was so exciting to see people getting saved in the nights before. But on this occasion, there came a yell from the back. There was a scream and a yell from the back. And people began to move out of the way. And as they began to move, there came this man who was not only intoxicated, but possessed by a devil. And he came and he began pushing people right out of the way. And he came walking straight down to this 5'1" woman. And I'm watching this thing standing on the side. My wife is with me. And I'm thinking, God, she's going to die tonight. As this man began to make his way. But she stood and she just said, in the name of Jesus. And when she spoke the name of Jesus, that man stood still in his tracks and could not budge one inch because of the name of Jesus. And people came and took him around to the back. They prayed. The devil was cast out. And they brought him back after the service. A man completely changed by the power of God. A man saved, delivered, set free. Hallelujah. There is power. Let me read that scripture again. Isaiah 52 verse 6. But I will reveal my name to my people and they will come to know its power. Anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, if you call on the name Jesus, you shall be saved. Nothing can hold you back from God. When a person calls on the name of Jesus, that name has power. Now, all through the ministry of Jesus, we see that he began just to speak many things in the short time that he ministered. In the 3 years that he ministered, he spoke many things. But there are a handful of statements that he made during this 3 years of ministry. There's just a handful of statements that he made where he uses the terms my word or my testimony, or he goes and says my words, my sayings, or words of mine. There's only a handful that he says those particular words. It's like a very particular thing that we should pay attention to. Whenever Jesus says these sayings of mine, there is a particular sense that he wants us to know the importance of what he is saying. And he saw, beloved, he spoke many important things, but when you get down to these sayings, they begin to tell a story. So what I did was I took all of these sayings, these handful of sayings where Jesus particularly uses the terms my sayings, these are my words and these are words of mine, and I put them together in a chronological order over the 3 years of his ministry. And they tell a story as Jesus began just to speak these words, and when he said these are my sayings, and over the 3 years, they tell a very, very powerful story. Let me give you just a few of them. I won't take any longer than 10 minutes on these words. The first time that we see in this chronological order that Jesus speaks is in John chapter 5, verse 24. Now listen to what he says. These are the first times that you will read where he says, he talks about my word. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. This is the first time that he's going to be using this statement. Only a handful of these statements that he'll make. But this is the first one in the chronological order. He says, anybody who hears my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So the most important word, when Jesus spoke it for the very first time, he said, this is my word that he's speaking. And in the chronological order, if there is any significance to it, he is saying in the very first time that if you will hear my word that I speak to you and believe on the one that has sent me, you will not come into any condemnation, but you will have eternal life. In fact, you will pass from death unto life. He spoke to the grave. There was a man called Lazarus. See, this is the power of the voice of Jesus. When Jesus speaks his words, there is power in his words. This book is the most powerful book on the face of the earth. There is no other book in this universe, on this earth, that is as powerful as this book. Do you know that it is read more times than any other book? There are more editions. This book is the most popular book today that it has ever, that no other book can surpass the Bible. And these words, when Jesus spoke, and he said to Lazarus, after 4 days in the grave, being dead, he spoke these words, "Lazarus, come forth." Death could not hold him. You see, when you hear the words of Jesus, you pass from death unto life. And tonight, if you hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you, telling you that he loves you, and that you know that you need Jesus Christ in your life, you will pass from death unto life. It's an amazing thing that God will do. Your life will be amazingly changed by the power of Almighty God. The second time that he says, in this chronological order, he says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Now, Jesus has been sitting on the Sermon on the Mount. He's been on this mountain. He's been giving this sermon. It begins in chapter 5 of Matthew, and it goes all the way to chapter 7. And Jesus speaks on many, many subjects. But then he brings everything down to this very closure. These are the last statements that he makes on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is where he uses, again, my words. He says, let me read it again. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," so these sayings that I've been giving you, "and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Jesus says that if you would, even in all times of confusion, if you would just take my sayings and receive them and believe them, then I tell you what is going to happen to your life. Everything that has been confused up to this point begins to change. God begins to put you on a foundation that he says that no matter what kind of a storm may come your way, and there will be storms and we will go through the storms, but your life will not be shaken. You will be established on a solid rock, and the life that you've got within you cannot be shaken. It doesn't matter how the storm may come from one side or another side. You will be established in Christ, and that establishment of your life on a solid rock will keep you through all the difficulties that may come into your life or come across in this lifetime that we live. So he says, all confusion will change and you'll be established on a solid rock. The third thing that he says in Luke chapter 9 verse 26, he says, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." So this third time in the chronological events when Jesus talks about my word, my sayings, he says, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. If you're ashamed of me and my sayings, and you know, there are times that maybe we go through periods where we may feel ashamed. But Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, if you're not willing to embrace them, if you're ashamed to be called a Christian, there will come a day when I'll have to step back and say, I don't know you, because you were ashamed to lay your life down for me. I just think of the other day, I went to go and get my hair cut, and I was sitting down, and as I waiting my turn, I just sat down on this chair, and I sat down next to this gentleman, and he was about 72 years of age. He told me about 72 or 75 years of age. I just sat down, and we just began chatting. And so he was telling me his life story, that he was with the power company and he was a lineman. His hands are all gnarled and he's got these big old thick hands, and he's just a really rough guy. And he's just sitting there waiting. And it was just so funny because he looked over to me. He said to me, well, what are you? Are you a film star? And I just saw this gnarly old guy. And I just started laughing like anything. I said, absolutely not. I said, I'm a preacher. And I said, I'm in a church in Manhattan. I'm one of associate pastor of one of seven pastors in the church. And he was so amazed. And God just, from that simple opportunity, you know, if you give your life to the Lord and you say, God, you'll just speak for him, wherever you are, no matter what the circumstances are, just don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to pray in public. Don't be ashamed to tell people who you are and what you do. But it opened up to be an amazing testimony. And just this old, gnarly old hand guy was just there waiting to get his haircut. I'm waiting to get my haircut. And he's just a rough guy. But it opened up to be an amazing testimony. Well, what do you do? Where is this church? And I began to tell him, well, how many people are there? What kind of a gospel do you preach? And, you know, and he was Catholic, and so I began to share with him everything about Jesus. It gave me a wonderful opportunity just to share about the love of God in his life. Who knows what that'll do, but it's one of those points in his life that I believe. I didn't lead him to the Lord that day, but I believe it's one of those opportunities that God knocks on the door and reaches into a life, and I believe that he will get saved. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to just bring this to a close and give you these words that Jesus says on this fourth one. He spoke about passing from death unto life. The very first words he says that are mine that he wants to communicate is that you can have hope. You will change from death into life. The second thing is if we give our life to him, he'll establish your life on a solid foundation and he'll keep you through the storms. He tells us not to be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of becoming a Christian. Don't be ashamed of his words. His words are powerful, folks. His words are, the words of God change lives. They bring hope and peace. And so he gives you this call, and these are his own words. He says, don't be ashamed of my sayings, and I won't be ashamed of you. But the fourth time that he speaks is in John chapter 12, verse 48. And he says, in a sense that his word becomes the standard of judgment. And this is what he says. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. These words that you're hearing tonight, the words of Jesus, the offer of eternal life, that he can take you out of a place of death and he can bring you into life. Take a confused situation and begin to establish it on a foundation. These words, don't be ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. These words, Jesus says, that if we reject him, if we turn our back on him, he says, I haven't come to judge you or condemn you. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. But if you reject me and reject these words of mine, these words that you hear tonight will stand as a judge to you one day, that God gave you the opportunity, that you heard marvelous testimonies, singing of where the anointing of God is. And then you heard the word of God come to you. He says, if you turn away this opportunity, when you know that God has brought you into this house, you're here tonight. God's brought you here. And you know, you might have just come on a whim. You might have come by a simple invitation. You may have come because somebody bugged you to come. But you're here tonight. And God is saying that these words of mine can give you life. But if you reject them, they will stand one day as your judge. You won't be able to turn away because he will have said to you, I gave you my word. You were convicted. You knew that God was speaking, but you turned him down. You see, beloved, God doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to go to a lost eternity, but these words will judge you if you reject him. Tonight is an opportunity. I remember that time that he spoke in that darkened haze of smoke-filled, drug-infested little hole. But the word of God penetrated on something as secular as a record. But God used his name to break through and begin to convict me in the deepest core of my being. until I had a chance in a church like this, January 1972. Cigarettes hanging out of my pocket, 130 pounds emaciated because of barbiturates, speed. But in a church like this, I didn't even want to be there. I was bugged to go by my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. And I came into that service, and all of these thoughts came back. In January 1972, I don't even remember what the message was about. All I remember was when the invitation came, I was convicted. I knew all of these stories along the way came flooding back to my mind. Even an ashtray when I was working as a crane driver loading and unloading ships in the clubhouse or the place where we had lunch. Somebody had scratched on a tin can that was an ashtray, "Jesus saves," another testimony. Just that simple statement is still embedded in my mind. Some Christian must have been there and just wrote it on there. But God uses these times to draw us to Himself. Definite moments in time that He can speak to you. The very first words He says, "These are my sayings that you can go from death unto life." I put my hand up. They said, "Anybody wants to give their life to Jesus, put your hand up." There was nothing I could do. I couldn't hold my hand down, even though my head was saying, "What are you doing?" I put my hand up, folks, because I was convicted in my heart. I stood to my feet. When they made the altar call, I got out of my seat. And I came to an altar just like this, and I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. January 1972. I have not stopped serving God since that time. Hallelujah. Tonight God has spoken to you so clearly through the testimony. I said to Pastor Carter, we could have had an altar call after the testimonies. So clear was the gospel preached to you already. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. I'm going to ask everybody in this house just to stand, not move, but just stand where you are. Just please stand together with me, but no walking around. God has been speaking to you and you know it. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is upon you. The words of Jesus have come to you tonight to respond to Him. I'm going to ask you now in the quietness of this moment, eyes open, because we're not going to be ashamed of Jesus. We're not going to be ashamed of Him at all. We're not going to let anybody disturb us. But unashamedly, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, you want to say, "Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I recognize the milestones and now I want to give my life to Jesus." I'm going to ask you unashamedly in front of all of these people, put your hand straight up in the air. Just stick it straight up. Unashamedly, put it right up in the air and say, don't let the devil try to get your hand down. Just put your hand straight up in the air, in the balcony, in the education annex. Just put your hand straight up. I'm going to ask you to do a second thing. I'm going to ask you right now, as you got your hand up, just simply move out the aisle and come down to this altar. Those who've got your hand up, just move right out of the aisle and come right down to this altar here, that your life is going to now be given over to Jesus. Unashamedly, just step out and say, "I'm giving my life to Christ tonight." Hallelujah. Good. Let's sing a song. As you come, we'll be praying with you to receive Christ. You come to this altar.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire.
can tell you tonight, because you have unashamedly stepped out of your seat in front of all of these people and said, I'm going to make that walk. Might have been the longest journey that you've ever made. But Jesus says to you tonight, I will not be ashamed of you. What He has promised to you, He is going to do that. I can tell you that when in January of 1972, I can tell you when I prayed that sinner's prayer that I understood everything. I can't say I understood it at all. But I knew something had taken place. A great transaction had taken place. Jesus took my life. The Bible says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as you heard Pastor Carter tonight, that when we come to Christ, old things pass away. You've got to believe tonight that everything up to this point in your life, God is about to remove. And He says, I'm giving you a brand new beginning. Hallelujah. A brand new start. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to ask you tonight to pray the prayer, a similar prayer that I prayed. If you prayed from your heart, Jesus will come into your life and you will be changed. And then I'll give you some direction after that. I'm going to ask all of you at this altar here tonight just to close your eyes, bow your heads, just close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer with me tonight. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I am a sinner. I confess my sins, the many things I have done wrong. I give them to you. I ask you to forgive me. I thank you that you died on a cross, and on that cross you nailed all of my sins. I receive your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, I now ask you to come into my life. I give you my heart. I give you my life. And I ask for your life in exchange. Jesus, I believe right now that you have come into my life. I believe it, and I acknowledge that you are both my Savior and my Lord. And I confess the name Jesus. I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.